Peter said in verse 38, repent, means turn from your evil ways, and your sins will be forgiven, and show your repentance, prove it by getting water baptized in Jesus' name. Now, how do I know that water baptism plays no role in salvation? Well, many ways, but one of the chief ways is Acts 10. Cornelius was saved before and without water baptism. The same man preached a sermon to him, Peter. And there he clearly said that our sins are forgiven when we trust on Jesus' name. Acts 10:43. Was he preaching a different message in Acts 2:38? Absolutely not. According to the Greek scholars, verse 38 is saying there are clauses, there are three of them. The remission of sins or forgiveness of sins can only refer back to the repent, and not the repent and water baptism as if it was one thing. Now notice what else he said in verse 39. The promise, what promise? The same promise mentioned in verse 33. The promise of the coming Holy Spirit that they just saw poured out on them. After all, isn't that the subject of what just happened? That's what instigated the whole thing. God caught their attention. By the way, the Holy Spirit came that day. Well, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, you see, Baptists, Presbyterians, and other ones that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches that it's for today. For all that are far off, isn't that us? We sure are far off from them. It says right here, Acts 2:39, that it's still in existence, hasn't been done away with. With many other words, he warned them. You see that, verse 40? What does that say to you, warned them? Somebody would give you a warning. Wouldn't that imply danger? What do you think Peter felt about their spiritual condition? Looking at verse 40. Saying, with many other words, he warned them. I mean, he must have told them this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing and this thing over here, trying to get them to realize the danger they were in, trying to get them to come to their senses. And he said to them, save yourselves! A lot of people don't even know they need to get saved. Don't even realize it. I wonder what Peter said. Maybe Peter said something like, do you realize that the majority of people are going to be picked up by an angel and thrown into the burning lake of fiery sulfur? And forever they will be tormented day and night. Never will they receive any mercy. Do you realize that this place that Jesus called Gehenna, he also described as the blazing furnace? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the wages of sin is this place called death or spiritual death. And notice he said, save yourselves. When I had Greek class, there were only three of us in a class. The other two were strict Calvinists. And they tried to convert me over to the Calvinistic position, and I was trying to convert them over to the Arminian position. And the Calvinists believe that it's all by God's grace, and it's true that we are saved by God's grace. But clearly right here it says that man has a role in his salvation. We decide if we're going to be saved or not. He said, you save yourself. How do you do that? By good works? No. by allowing Jesus to save you. By you choosing to repent and trust Jesus shows that you save yourself. Well, Matthew 1:21 says that He will save us from our sins. Doesn't it say that? You're to give Him the name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Well, Jesus only saves those from their sins, those that save themselves by allowing Him to do that. He died for all of us, but He's not going to save everyone. So you see, it's man and God working together, but not man doing anything to add to the plan of salvation, the redemption, the blood that was shed on a cross. How could we add to something that's perfect? We can't. It's perfect and complete. He said it is finished, but we have to allow that to benefit us. And it's our choice. Save yourselves. Now, we got a bold man right here. And he warned them, and he said part of his message was, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Before I give you a few other adjectives describing the time that we're now living, this age, please notice it says that he pleaded with them. You want to do an interesting study? Why don't you take out a concordance this week and look up the word plead and pleading and please. How about the pleadings of the righteous? Here we have a righteous man pleading with people. What's he pleading with them over? Their soul's condition. Who was it? Somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. A righteous man. Somebody that knew what the Bible said. You know, he was quoting Scripture. He wasn't even reading Scripture. He didn't say, now wait a minute, I have to go get the scroll and read to you what Joel said and what David said. I wonder if you were given that kind of opportunity. You say, wait a minute, left my pocket Bible over in the car, I'll be right back. He knew the Word. Like we should know the Word. Are we as serious as they were? For several days, somewhere around 10, they were together in prayer. Constantly in prayer, it says. Things are sure different today. He pleaded with them. He pleaded with them. Wake up! You see the danger you're in? Do you realize where you're headed? Do you really know where you're headed? Corrupt generation. Listen to this. You want to know about this age that we're living in? In Matthew 12:45, Jesus called it a wicked generation. In Matthew 17:17, He called it an unbelieving and perverse generation. In Mark 8:38, Jesus called this generation an adulterous and sinful generation. And Paul said in Philippians 2:15 that it was a crooked and depraved generation. What a cursed time that we're living in. Here it says corrupt. How do you get saved from this corrupt generation? Repent! Why is it then do we hear messages today that repentance isn't part of the plan of salvation? And you better believe that that's rampant. You better believe it. I hate that kind of message. It's a false plan of salvation. Unless we submit to Jesus Christ, we will never enter the kingdom of God. We trust Him, and that's how we get there, but we're going to have to trust the point where we repent, we turn from our sins. If you don't, you really don't believe in your heart, and you're really not saved, you're still in great danger. Which implies that if you want to get out of the danger that you're in, you want to enter safety, spiritual safety, why don't you do the right thing? Why don't you take the doctor's medicine, repent, and believe on Jesus? You want safety? You want security? Come to Jesus! Not saying that once you're saved, you're always saved, because you have to endure to the end to be saved. Jesus told His disciples that, Matthew 10:22. The only way you're going to get saved to begin with, you're going to have to come to Jesus. And then they were baptized. That is, those that accepted the message. It's only part that were there. Not everybody there gets saved. Even though the others heard the same message, they said, "This thing is not for me. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, go do my own thing. I know what's best for me. I'm not going to weigh myself down with this religious stuff. I mean, I want to be free. If it feels good, do it. Live for the moment." And into hell they will be thrown too. So those that accepted the truth, Peter's message, guess what? They were water baptized. How long after? A year? 10 years? Right after he preached that message, they had a huge baptism service. 3,000 right there. In this city, the most prominent city in the whole Bible, Jerusalem. Prominent in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Became the mother church. Right here, all of a sudden, the mother church in Christianity was formed. And one day, 3,000, whammo! Really, 3,120. They were water baptized. And they didn't care who knew. They wanted people to know, because you can't be ashamed of Jesus. I'm going to get water baptized, identify with this group over here that's known as the Way. You know why Christianity is known as the Way? Because we preach the only true plan of salvation, Jesus. He's the Way. And because we're preaching Jesus is our only hope, Christianity is the Way. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is Christianity. And then, this is a verse right here. You've heard me say this dozens of times. If you don't have it memorized yet, get a pencil or an ink pen and circle verse 42. What did the brand new baby Christians do? They were already God-fearing before they even got saved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Did they take it half-heartedly? Well, I went to church last week. I made it there about a month ago. Well, we find out that they met, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You know why that's important? Take a guess. Because they would have the benefit of receiving from the fellowship of the other believers, hearing the needs of the other saints and hearing the word of God, and they would have a chance to encourage others. We are commanded to encourage one another daily. Of course, we don't always do that when we get to church on Sunday, but that surely is a good time to do it. All kind of people are hurting. It's not just you and me. We're all hurting. All of us in here this morning, we all had a rough week. Here you came in here and you thought you were the only one. We all had a rough week. We all need encouraged. We need spiritual medicine. I can guarantee they didn't do anything that they really didn't need desperately. And if they needed it, how much do you? Now, notice, the ones that accepted the message, they did what Peter said to do. It's based on the Word of God. If you accept the message of the Word of God, you're going to make some changes where changes need to be made. Well, you don't understand. I mean, this just doesn't fit in with my lifestyle. I got my habits already set up. I like to do this at this particular point in time, and I like to do that at this other particular point in time. Some people might not like it. Well, are we more concerned about pleasing God or man? Are we making every effort to enter the kingdom of God? Are you putting Jesus before any person? But if I do, I could lose this. But you'll have Jesus. Are you putting that thing or that person before Jesus? Before your soul? He warned them. Warned them. There's a danger. They weren't aware of what Peter was. Pleaded with them. I plead with you. Are you walking right with God? Or is it going to be after today's service? You went to church, heard the message, and refused to accept it, even though the Holy Spirit dealt with you and said, this needs to be changed for your good. It's going to benefit you if you change this. Well, it's more convenient for me to do this other thing. I'm not going to do it. Well, you better know that there are tests that we undergo in this life, every single one of us. Those that enter the kingdom of God, they pay the price. If you're not willing to pay the price, what makes you think that you're going to enter the kingdom of God? What makes you think that you're going to get there by not counting the cost, like Jesus said in Luke 14? You want to be his disciple? There's going to be a cost. You're going to have to pay dearly. You'll be persecuted, misunderstood, hated, rejected. You'll suffer persecution. Are you willing to do it? Do you have faith in your heart? Do you truly believe in your heart where you're willing to pay that kind of price? When other people go on their merry way to hell, they're smoking dope and drinking beer and doing the devilish things that people in darkness do. And of course, you don't have to always go to that extreme. Willing to repent? By the way, these people right here weren't that Peter warned. Well, we would have said, hey, these are God-fearing people. These must be people that are saved. No. They weren't dopers, and they weren't alcoholics. And if they lived today, they wouldn't have been the people that were party mad. These were just people that really never took Jesus and put him on the throne of their own heart. They ignorantly viewed Jesus Christ in a way that they should not have. And if you haven't put Jesus where he should be, you ignorantly view him, because one day you'll stand before him. We all will. If we had a real revelation of who he is, we knew the truth in the right kind of a way, instantly we would get our minds off of the things of this life and get them fastened on that awesome day when we stand before him. Well, right here we get another glimpse of Christianity. Right here again we see why Jesus wanted the disciples to stay around in Jerusalem. Don't leave this place, he said. You need something, even though you get salvation. You need something that will help you be my witness. Not so that you won't backslide. I've heard people say that. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit so you won't backslide. Bible doesn't say that. It said right here in Acts 1:8. So they would be witnesses of Jesus. And by the way, while I'm at it, I've heard numerous people say, this is when the church was born, right here in Acts chapter 2. Not so. You look up the word church. What's the church? The body of believers, those that are true Christians, disciples. They were already disciples before Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 1, they were already disciples. The church already existed. It's already there. Church wasn't born in Acts chapter 2. What a time. What an awesome moment. I want to ask you a question. Do you have the same kind of revelation that they had as new Christians, and even of the 120? That they all really gave their attention to the Word. Not just the Word, prayer. Not just prayer, fellowship of Christians, and to communion. Then on the other hand, if you're not walking with God, if you heard that same sermon on that Pentecost day around 30 AD, well, in one sense you really did, because I read it to you and preached on it. Would you have been of the 3,000 that would have responded? Well, if you don't respond this morning, you probably would not have been then. Because your heart is really the thing that will determine if you'll save yourself, if you'll do the right thing or not. Are you in danger? You better believe you're in danger. Should I ignore it? Many did. I know, I'll just think about something else. Won't change the danger. If there's a rattlesnake in your car and you blot it out of your mind, well, I'm just not going to think that there's a rattlesnake in this car with me, I'll be safe. It's not going to work. And it's closer than that, the rattlesnake's in your pocket. The only remedy is to come to Jesus. It's a guaranteed cinch that you will go to hell unless you repent. And if you want to do a smart thing for yourself, you better get fully devoted in four areas, like it says right here in Acts 2:42. Are you making every effort to enter the narrow door? Jesus said many will try to enter and not be able to. But God's merciful. As long as we try, I get saved. So what? So? They knew God was merciful. They knew they had just gotten saved. Did they say, well, sit back, you'll breeze right through those doors? They devoted themselves to these four things. Well, how serious do you think this is? Well, I think eternity's at stake. Therefore, it's more important than your job. It's more important than what people think. It's more important than your life, because one day you'll die. And after this, the judgment. Oh, this kind of preaching makes me uneasy. That's the Holy Spirit. Notice I said the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm just going to come to church and hear another sermon and walk out, and I'm going to have the same habits this week. Well, then, if you don't change, if you don't repent, I'll say it again. Most assuredly, though you come and you hear the truth, you heard Acts chapter 2 this morning and other sermons in the past, you're going to be picked up by an angel one day and screaming for mercy, it'll be too late. You'll be picked up and thrown into the lake of fire. You'll probably be pleading, God, give me another chance, I'll do anything. Why didn't you listen that Sunday morning? Why didn't you change? Well, because of this, I wanted to go and do this other thing. Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Won't happen to me. Oh, yes, it will, unless you repent. Yeah, but nobody knows. God knows it. I'm putting up a pretty good bluff. God knows it. I'll squeeze in somehow. No, you won't. No, you won't. Don't be deceived. You won't make it. One way. You take up your cross daily. You deny yourself. And you follow Jesus.
None of these tapes are copyrighted, and you have our permission and are encouraged to reproduce them for free distribution. For a complete catalog of other available tapes and materials, please write Evangelical Outreach, Box 265, Washington, PA 15301.